The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Standing Room Only presents Radio Showtime with producer, director, actress, and talent agent, Kathy Rollins. Listen here for the tops in entertainment talk. Get the lowdown on people in the biz, entertainment locally, film, music, and TV in production, and advice for newcomers. How to get started. To take your part and be a star, call toll-free 1-888-565-1470. And now, let's take our mark, get ready, and action! Radio Showtime with Kathy Rollins.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Radio Showtime. This is Kathy Rollins. Thank you. This is Radio Showtime, and we are all about entertainment and showbiz and every aspect of it. We cover music, arts, literature, theater, films, dance, whatever. And I want to say thank you to everyone for all the wonderful comments and emails and comments on our Facebook page, Radio Showtime's Facebook page. It's very encouraging. I'm very thrilled that you like the show, and we have wonderful guests lined up in the weeks to come, and it's exciting. We have one of the things we have two contributors. Weekly, we hear from Connor Griffin, who tells us Connor's Corner, and he lets us know what the young teens are into theater-wise and art-wise, what they're enjoying. And we also hear from Todd Vidham. He's another contributor to our show. He's a local actor, director, and teacher, and he has Todd's tips on acting for established actors or if you're thinking of getting into showbiz. And we also are very happy to share information. If you are working on a project or a production or a fundraiser or your favorite band is playing somewhere, we'd like you to call us or email or send us a message on our Facebook page. We will be happy to promote it for you. We have an exciting show for you tonight, but I want to let you know a little bit about what's coming up in weeks to come. We are going to speak next week to Al Nero and Miguel Reyna. They are musical geniuses, and we have a wonderful show lined up next week. After that, we have Nancy J. Cohen. She's an award-winning mystery writer. She's written many books, and she's got a new one coming out, and she's going to talk also about the industry and people, how the industry has changed all over the years and getting published and things along those lines. We have a gentleman by the name of Larry Greenberg, and he is a very bright and articulate man who's going to tell us all about hypnosis and explain the difference between stage hypnosis and hypnosis, and you'll see what I mean when you listen to him. We also have a gentleman by the name of Alan Gerstel. He's going to be a guest in a couple of weeks, and he wrote a book called Swing, S-W-I-N-G, and the book is about his life, and it's about his dad, and his dad happens to be Louis Prima. So that's just a sampling of the guests that we have lined up in the weeks to come. So we want you to continue to listen. If you'd like to call in our show, please do so. It's 1-888-565-1470, 1-888-565-1470. And if you're not getting reception as clear as you like, you can always go online to Kathy SRO, Kathy with a C, Kathy SRO as in standing room only. So KathySRO.com, click on Radio Showtime, and boom, you will hear us loud and clear in Oregon, in Spain, anywhere, from anywhere. And you will also see the lineup of guests we have in the weeks to come. So that's what we are all about. And I think we have someone right now online. We're hearing from Connor with Connor's Corner, and welcome to Radio Showtime, Connor.
Hey.
Hi. How you doing? Did I touch something? Okay. So, Connor, what advice? What do you have for us? What's going on, and what are you going to share with our listeners about what's interesting you this week?
Well, now we're going to talk about a big subject for kids my age: social medias.
Okay, go ahead.
There are two social medias I'm going to talk about. One is called Instagram. To use Instagram, it's an app, what you do is you send photos to video document and to tell friends and family where you are, what you're doing, and you can put a little comment. Funny videos, that's for Vine. Vine, same thing like Instagram, but instead of posting pictures, you put videos. Again, great for telling where you are and how to have a fun time.
Good. So, and also keep in touch with mom and dad and let them know where you are and what you're doing, correct?
Yeah.
Great. So how long did it take you to get connected with all this, to learn all this? Of course, kids your age don't take very long to learn what's happening new. Is this something new for you, or have you been kind of, you know, tinkering with it for a while?
Well, I haven't got it yet. I'm still kind of talking to my friends about it, seeing how it's all working out. But from my friends have said, a fun way to keep in touch with friends, family, and if there's somebody from across the globe, if you have the app, you can talk to them.
Wow, that's great. Okay. Well, listen, so I know your summer's coming to a close soon, and you're getting ready to go back to school, correct?
Yep.
Good. And but we're still going to be hearing from you each and every week, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Connor Griffin, for your Connor's Corner and for contributing your information to people your age and on our show. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Well, this is Connor's Corner, Radio Showtime, and I'll see you next time.
Very good. Great. Okay. Well, we are going to have a little break, and then we're going to have our guest today is Betsy Wicker will be with us in a few minutes. Thank you.
Three words define excellence in entertainment. Standing room only. Those same three words are your ticket to the finest and widest variety of entertainers for your next party or event. Founded and led by the amazing Kathy Rollins, Standing Room Only Productions is a licensed, bonded, and insured full-service entertainment company operating in South Florida since 1982. SRO's lineup of performers is unmatched and ranges from a DJ to an entire orchestra, from an MC to a full ensemble production, and includes specialties such as ventriloquists, magicians, belly dancers. If it's been on stage, SRO has it. They can even produce and direct your show using your group as the talent. Nothing tops a standing room only show. Call Kathy now at 954-791-7555. That's 954-791-7555. Or visit the website at KathySRO.com. That's Kathy with a C, KathySRO.com. Standing Room Only Productions.
Okay. Well, before I introduce my first guest, I want you to know that later on in our show, we also have William Florian. And William Florian, excuse me, was the lead singer for the New Christie Minstrels. And we're going to also hear from Woody Woodbury, a delightful comedian, actor, television personality, and talk show host. He's going to be joining us later. But my first guest is a very lovely, lovely lady who's, she's having and had a wonderful career. She started out as, she'll tell us all about it, but what started out as an acting career, it just segued and went into dance and a lot of other things. And, she's going to tell you all about it. And it's my pleasure to introduce you to you this evening is Miss Betsy Wickard. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. So, you know, I was just kind of tracking your career, and I know you lived in Europe part of the time, but New York, California, Florida, Branson, Vegas, Atlantic City. It makes a star when you make a play to all those prizes. Oh my goodness, that, you know, just tracking all that, it comes out like a star. But yeah, you've been to so many places with your career. But tell our listening audience, please, how you started out, because you really were not especially pursuing a career in dance. Is that right?
That's right.
Tell us where you were from, where you were born, for instance.
Oh, where was I born?
Mm-hmm.
Cumberland, Maryland, a small town in the panhandle of western Maryland.
Okay.
And that's what really started this whole career, because I had wonderful training in that little town in dance, voice, and I took piano lessons. And when I graduated from high school and graduated from college, I became a teacher, an English teacher, having no ambition whatsoever to be in show business. It would never have crossed my mind. And I went on and did other things. I was an executive wife. I lived in London for 10 years. I had a wonderful time raising my children, being the executive wife person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about 40, I thought, oh, I better be thinking about something to do because the boys are going to drive away.
Mm-hmm. And you do have twins. She has twin boys.
I have twin boys. They're 20 or 45.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to teach school anymore, but I read an article in a newspaper saying that modeling agencies were starting to hire people who were over 40, also people who were 5'4 and under.
Hmm.
Well, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So I registered with the Rogers and Lerman Agency in New York, a fabulous agency. My very first modeling job was for an Avon catalog.
Wow.
They were just absolutely wonderful for me. We, you know, I did great things. I had, I did print, commercials. I did enough work in films that I got my SAG card,
mm-hmm.
which was very thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
I did print for Wells Fargo, Viva Paper Products.
But you were living in New York at this time?
We were living in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm,
and I
right.
was Amtraking to New York.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did commercials for Revlon, CBS Sports,
amazing,
and the Atlantic City casinos, and I was so thrilled when I got that SAG card on Rocky Five.
Ah,
but
okay.
Then I read another article. This was in Back.
You see, folks, it pays to read, right? Read
yeah,
the paper.
It pays to read.
Yes.
In Backstage,
the right thing, correct.
I read an article saying that there was a production company that was looking for dancers who were over 40.
My goodness, how lucky you are.
I was very lucky. And the whole thing is unbelievable.
Because that's what took you on this tour of dancing around the country, correct?
The one audition launched me into a career that has lasted for 25 years.
That's amazing. So where did you go first with the first troupe, the first dance production company?
My very first job ever, it was actually right in the very beginning, was, believe it or not, with the Philadelphia Opera Company. And I don't sing a note, but they have people in the opera doing things, and I did say a little piece in it. But my big thing that I did first was to work for Jean Ann Ryan.
Oh, yes, yeah, she's very well known.
Yes, she's based right here in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
She does shows on the cruise ships. That's what she's best known for. But I worked for her on land.
Mm-hmm.
And through the years have done 4 shows for her. They have been absolutely fantastic.
And then you joined the company that took you to Atlantic City, correct?
That was Greg Thompson Productions.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was another audition.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg has a huge, huge company. He books shows all over the world. I was so fortunate to be hired by these people with really no background and no resume.
That's amazing. It's amazing to realize how lucky you are, too. It's good to be in the right place at the right time, but also that what you had was required at that time, and, you know, that's being at the right place at the right time.
I was in the right place mm-hmm. at the right time.
In the right sequence.
It was so thrilling to perform on stage with people I had seen on television and in the movies.
You've performed with many major stars. I know in Branson, but in Branson, what are some of the celebrities you've worked with?
Florence Henderson,
mm-hmm.
Carol Channing, Patti Page, Carol Lawrence, Mickey Rooney,
wow.
Danny Orlando, Robert Morse,
wow.
Jimmy Rogers, Kitty Carlisle Hart.
Now, you also worked with the Palm Springs Follies, is that correct?
I did, right? Yes. That was another thing that was just so lucky. That is a fabulous show.
Yeah.
It's been running for 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's hard to get in that show. It really is. And again, I was just so lucky. A friend of mine wanted to go and audition for it and didn't want to make the trip across the country by herself, so I went with her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, I thought, well, since I'm here, I might as well audition too. I got in the show.
That is great.
And she didn't. That was not.
Oh, wow. That's something. Yeah, so that's, that happens. Was, yeah. So now,
yeah,
you also performed in Laughlin, but that was the Goss show that you...
No. In Laughlin, Nevada, it was the Greg Thompson show, right, Golden right, Girls right. USA.
So tell me, what are you doing these days? Because I know you keep busy and you've got your own show, but what are you doing with all of this background? What are you doing now?
I have a show that I do as a hobby that I've been doing for about 20 years. And when I would not be in Branson or Atlantic City or wherever I was working, Biloxi, when I was home in between, I would do my little show called Backyard Folly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tribute to the veterans of World War II in Korea.
Okay.
I'm still doing that. And my favorite thing is a fan dance for every occasion. I love doing fan dances.
I know you have one for St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And
Christmas,
Valentine's, and
Veterans Day,
Halloween.
Birthdays, and I have lots of different colors of fans, and it's my favorite thing to do. I absolutely love
and
it.
You've also...
And of course,
mm-hmm.
I do murder mysteries and comedy.
That's true.
For you.
That's
you
right.
Know,
you're a very good actress, Betsy. You are a good actress. I have to say, you really put yourself into the character. You really do. You really are.
Do you know, I did my first one for you in 1995.
Where
we
were born then. I know, you were really. But it's great, you know, the career you've had, because, you know, you had your children, you had your family, and you still have your children, and you still have your family, but you traveled with your husband's work around, you know, in Europe, and then you came here, and then as your children grew up, you were able to create, you know, start this whole new career. You really had, like, two lives here. But
And
they're both, which is so hard to do for a lot of people, because not only being in the right place at the right time, but you also need the talent, and which you have, and it's also having the support of your family and friends, because that is so important, like, for people to you know, support artistic people within a family. Don't you think?
Yes. I am proof that you can get into show business at any age.
So, Betsy, are you going to write a book, or have you written a book, or are you thinking about writing a book?
Oh, I never thought about it.
I think you should. I really do.
What would I call it?
Well, you know,
we'll have to think about that. Hey, that kind of would be fun.
Yeah, because, you know, you did quite a bit, and you achieved a lot, and yet you've utilized all the talents that you have, and you certainly have more things. You're always creating some kind of a new show or adding something to your show. But that what you've accomplished, I think it would be very inspiring and encouraging to a lot of people.
Oh, thank you. That's a very nice compliment.
That's true, yeah.
Very nice. And I think that the important thing is just to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going to auditions, when you're working with other people, and probably it's maybe even more important than having the talent and getting into the shows. Once you're with a cast, whether it's film, stage, no matter what it is, I've always tried to make sure that I get along with everybody.
You know, that is so important. That is so important. That's great, great advice. And I hope people listening to that would take note, because nobody wants someone who's going to be disruptive. Directors don't want an assistant volunteer director. You know, but yeah, but you've managed to learn, but you've always been that way. I don't think it's that you made mistakes and then learned, oh, I better do it this way. I think you're a very courteous and polite person, but you knew that that's the best way to be part of a team.
Every cast has the diva, the person who aggravates everybody. It's always there, but I always just try to
don't let it be you.
Person figure out how to make it work, and I think that is so important.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And probably people want to be around people who help as a team make a project, whatever it is, move forward. And you only have that when you have everyone's cooperation and teamwork.
Also, there was a lady I met in California, Anita Maltin. She's a wonderful British comedian. Mm-hmm. And on one of my first days when I was in Palm Springs, she told me that she thought that maybe one of the reasons I had been so fortunate and had done so well suddenly was that I did come into it later in life, and I didn't go through the rejection that people go through when they're doing it when they're younger.
You know, that's probably very true.
Sometimes it makes them become bitter.
Yeah, but you're
and angry, and they push too hard.
That's true.
And I didn't have that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true too. Yeah. Well, you're supposed to be doing what you're doing because you do a great job, Betsy. And I happen to know you personally. We're very good friends, and you're I don't think anyone ever says anything bad about Betsy Wickard. You're a really good friend and a kind person and a talented person. And we have to go to a break now, but I want to thank you for sharing your experiences with our audience, and we look forward to having you on Radio Showtime again.
Thank you, Kathy.
Take care, Betsy. Talk to you soon. We will be back with William Florian after these messages.
Three words define excellence in entertainment. Standing room only. Those same three words are your ticket to the finest and widest variety of entertainers for your next party or event. Founded and led by the amazing Kathy Rollins, Standing Room Only Productions is a licensed, bonded, and insured full-service entertainment company operating in South Florida since 1982. SRO's lineup of performers is unmatched and ranges from a DJ to an entire orchestra, from an MC to a full ensemble production, and includes specialties such as ventriloquists, magicians, belly dancers. If it's been on stage, SRO has it. They can even produce and direct your show using your group as the talent. Nothing tops a standing room only show. Call Kathy now at 954-791-7555. That's 954-791-7555. Or visit the website at KathySRO.com. That's Kathy with a C, KathySRO.com. Standing Room Only Productions.
Okay, we are back. Well, my next guest, his name is William Florian, and he's been delighting audiences of all ages for decades, playing guitar and singing his songs, and he sang as a member of the famous New Christie Minstrels. These days, he produces and composes and is a founding member of the California-based The Mountain Folk Singers. It is my pleasure and my honor to welcome to Radio Showtime William Florian. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
I am fine. You are the traveling man these days. I mean, when I speak to you, I know you live in California, but you could actually be anywhere around the country because you are constantly on the go and busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's fun.
You're a talented guy, and you know, you're multi-talented, and you're needed here and here every part of the country. And you are coming here. You come to Florida actually every year around March, and you are coming this year, and you have some bookings lined up. And as people hear some of your music, they'll know why you're on such demand. So what's going on these days? What is where are you home now, or are you traveling?
Yeah, I'm at home in Northern California right now. When we're not on tour, I'm staying on a farm with my wife.
Oh.
It's a delightful place with 40 other people. It's kind of like the old hippie days, actually.
Hey, well, see that? Now, for those out there who don't remember or know the New Christie Minstrel Singers, they're world famous, and I'm sure most people do know of them. But when you, let's give a little insight as to how that kind of formed. And you are from the, if I'm correct, Massachusetts, is that right?
Well, I actually grew up in a little town outside of Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
But I did spend time on Cape Cod and near Boston when I was after high school. And then in the 70s, my sister and I, we bought a motorhome together, and we traveled all over the country in the mid-70s. We got to Los Angeles and met up with the New Christie Minstrels. And it's an interesting story how we ended up in that.
Were they already established, or were they forming when you joined up with them?
The group started in the early 60s by a man named Randy Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And he started the group as a hootenanny singing group. A management company kind of took over, and they had 17 albums out, television shows, a string of hit records, including This Land Is Your Land, which was written by Woody Guthrie, but the Christies made it a big hit. Today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to play a little piece of that later on.
Yeah. I have another song, Green. A lot of famous people came from the group.
So how did you, they heard about you and the right person put you in with them? And
you know what happened is really interesting. I had seen an ad in a Musicians Union magazine a couple of years prior to my sister and I going on a trip together in L.A. And I put it in my wallet. I tore it out, put it in my wallet. It said, Singers Wanted for the New Christie Minstrels.
Wow.
I kept it in my wallet, and I walked around with it for a year or two, and I thought, someday I'm going to get brave and call this number.
Oh, wow.
And so my sister and I, we were traveling around. We had agents sending us out. We were singing here and there all over the country, and we ended up in Los Angeles, and we pulled into a Safeway supermarket parking lot, and we lived there for a while. And there was a phone booth outside the motorhome door, and that was my office for a while. And I started calling record companies, and, you know, we were going to be the next Carpenters, you know, and we were just doing it. And so one of the numbers, I took my wallet out that one day and called that number, and, they said, no, we're not looking for anybody. That's an old ad. Who are you? You know, kind of thing, you know. And so I went back to the motorhome, told my sister what happened, and she was like 18 years old. I was like about 22 or so. And we just decided we'd go to their office anyways. And we left Burbank where we were, and we went to Beverly Hills and parked in front of their office for a while.
Oh, my God.
That same afternoon, we walked up into their office with our instruments. And I said, secretary, I said, you know, I know you said you're not looking for anyone, but if you audition us now, maybe you can use us in the future sometime, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you do, a live show for them? You gave them a live performance right then and there?
Yeah.
Amazing. Before we go further, I want to play a little bit of one of your CDs that I have, Past and Present, and the one number is I'll Never Find Another You. Let's play a little bit of that, Ken, and then we'll come back and talk.
There's a new world somewhere they call the promised land, and I'll be there someday if you will hold my hand. I still need you there beside me, no matter what I do, for I know I'll never find another you. There is only
that is wonderful. Now that is just you, correct, William?
Yeah, I overdubbed some of the instruments.
Yeah. And let me see here. And that's on your album called Past and Present. And
you know what? I've recently changed the name of that album in the new pressings, and I call it Those Were the Days Now, which is named after.
Well, that's the name of your show. Yeah, one of your shows that when you come through. Okay, and I want to play now a little bit of piece of Today. Ken, let's let our listeners hear that.
Today, while the blossom still cling to the vine, I'll taste your strawberries and drink your sweet wine. A million tomorrows shall all pass away ere I forget all the joy that is mine today.
That is so beautiful, and that certainly was. That's you. That shows your voice more. I wanted our listeners to hear that. It's so funny how I met you is a gentleman, a mutual friend, Lawrence Lemon, who worked here, a wonderful magician and actor, went to California, and he was somewhere at a party and heard you sing, and he said to you, you're pretty good. And he said, you said, I should be. I was with the new Christine Minstrels. And then he told me about you and so forth. But and then we found another mutual friend, Vic Sarno, that you know in Plymouth, Mass. It's so funny because Vic Sarno doesn't live here now, but actually he's in the Clearwater area. But so now you performed, you had your show, your sister decided to not sing anymore, I guess, and then you pursued on your own after the new Christies parted, they ended, correct?
My sister and I pursued our own record deal for a while, but got discouraged after a couple of years, and she went home to start her family and that whole bit. But I stayed and had some good luck with some songs and publishing and all that. But
tell me about the new group, the Mountain Folk Singers. What's that all about?
The Mountain Folk Singers was something that happened in the 90s, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then we disbanded, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, actually. And then since then, I've been doing my show, Those Were the Days, and traveling all over the country doing that.
Yep, I've seen you perform that show, and it's amazing how the audience all comes together and just loves everything you do. It's a wonderful, wonderful show. And you travel all around, you not only here, but, you're I guess you must have a schedule all lined up where you're going, and, it's wonderful. And you have a website, don't you, that if people want to see a sampling of what you're doing?
Yeah, the easiest way to find that is thosewerethedays.org.
Thosewerethedays.org. And you also have a website, florianmusic.com, is that correct?
No? Yeah, they both go to the same place.
Great. This other number, Bound to Change, is this something you wrote, or this is a newer piece? What is that about?
That's an original song I wrote, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Whenever I do my show, I always put a few originals in, but a lot of it's the stories from the 60s and the folk music from the 60s. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's play a little bit of that, Ken, number of Bound to Change, and we'll find out why it's titled that.
One thing in this world you can depend on, and that's that nothing stays the same. Just the time you think you finally settled down, that's the time it's bound to change. I remember when I had to have control, and I remember all the pain.
There was so much pain.
Thought I knew everything there was to know.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful, clear, clean voice. So what's behind that title, Bound to Change? When did you write that?
Gosh, I actually wrote that in the 90s when I was with the Mountain Folk Singers. We had 3 CDs out, which sold under a million copies.
Whoa. Okay.
Under a million copies.
Okay.
But it's a joke. But great songs. Me and Wayne Thompson, who was writing songs too, we came out with some great stuff. And that song, I think I wrote that around the time my mom and dad were getting a divorce, and they were in their 70s. So you never know.
Oh, wow.
Things are bound to change.
I see now. Yeah, right. You should have said way under a million. Way under. Okay. So are you still writing?
Yes. Yeah, I love writing songs. And I always whenever I record an album, a lot of my albums have... the covers, the John Denver songs, the Peter Plum. Actually, my albums are for the people that come to my concerts. Because I tell the stories of the 60s and interesting, funny things that happened back then. So and then the songs that were important to me when I was growing up. And so those are the songs that are on the album. And I always put about, maybe 5 originals on the album, too. And tell them.
Well, you are a fine performer. You're a pleasure to watch perform. You truly love what you do, and I get the feeling that you love the camaraderie that you create with the audience, because your show is kind of interactive with the audience, isn't it?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Everybody has a great time.
We just
played Reno the other night at a big amphitheater there. We had a full house, 1,000 people showed up, and we were rocking. Everybody was singing Customs Dragon with us, and sold 130 CDs after the show. That was pretty amazing.
Good. Okay, go. Okay, well, William, it was very nice chatting with you, and we look forward to you coming here to Florida in March, and continued success. You're good at what you do, and you're an extremely talented person. And thank you for calling.
I hope your listeners check my video out on the website, thosewerethedays.org.
Thosewerethedays.org, William Florian. Thank you so much. And we'll
talk to you.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, well, my next guest is here. I think we're not going to go to a break. He's a delightful, delightful guy. He should actually be here doing what I'm doing, because he could make circles around me. This gentleman is an American comedian, actor, television personality, talk show host, and he's perhaps best known for his best-selling comedy albums of risque stories, most of which were released in the early 60s. His name is Woody Woodbury, and not many people know that he was among the first stand-up comedians to ever receive a gold record. Welcome to Radio Showtime, Woody Woodbury.
Hi, girl. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I couldn't get any better. Boy, I tell you, you got some real talent coming on there.
I do, too. I mean, it's amazing. There are, especially in Florida, we have so many wonderful, talented people. There are so many wonderful, wonderfully talented people, and they happen to be nice people, too, like you.
Oh, bless your heart. That's nice of you to say. Bessie Withers, really, she's really something.
Well, I am sure not many people, I mean, I'm sure not, there are not many people who do not know who you are, but you are an amazing, amazing man. You're from a Midwesterner who has had a major career, and we're going to share some of those highlights with the listeners. But you also were a U.S. Marine pilot through two wars that, let's see, it says here, you flew fighters in combat with John Glenn and Ted Williams.
That's
my goodness.
Right.
A fighter pilot. So where were you born? I know you're from the Midwest, right?
Yeah, I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And your mother was she's the only, the musical person in your family, correct?
My mom, she was quite a piano player. She aspired to be a concert pianist, but that never did work out, Kathy. She got married and had three daughters and myself, and that was the end of her showbiz career, such as it was in those days. And I've been a lucky guy. I really have. There's no question about it.
Give our listeners a little smattering of what happened after Minnesota, because you are so many things, but I figured out the main thing about you, you are wall-to-wall personality.
I don't know. I just have a good time with the audience. The funny thing is, the Florian man on there, and I was listening to that, and Joni and I, The new Christie Minstrels were just here in town, oh, I guess 5-6 months ago. Joni and I took them all to lunch. I know them. They were friends of mine for many, many years. And Pete Henderson, who was with Skiles and Henderson, a great comedy act. Bill Skiles passed away, but Pete Henderson is now with the Christie Minstrels.
Really?
And he lives in Branson.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. That's why I'm stunned at this Betsy that you, this little.
Betsy Wickard. Yes. Yep. She's a delightful talent.
Every place she's worked, I've worked there. It's amazing.
Well, explain to the folks what happened to you. After Minnesota, you went to where? New York?
After Minnesota, I went to, let me see, where did I go right after Minnesota? I went to Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay.
And, while I was in the Marine Corps in Los Angeles, I was stationed at El Toro, which is near Santa Ana.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go up to Los Angeles. We'd drive up from Santa Ana, a couple of buddies and myself. We would drive up there, and I went into a place on La Cienega Boulevard one night, a place called Solly's, S-O-L-L-Y-S, owned by a guy, Salvador Santaella, whose Mexican family who was very, very wealthy. They were in the tobacco business in Mexico. Anyhow, to make a long story short, he played the piano, and Boogie Woogie was the top kind of music back mm-hmm. in World War II. This was right near the end of World War II. And so he had heard about me somehow. I played the piano, some Navy deal or Marine Corps deal. And in his accent, he invited me up, and he had twin pianos back to back. So mm-hmm. we were going to do a duet together. And it absolutely brought the house down. I was stunned because I'm used to, you know.
So wait, so you played piano. So I guess your mom taught you how to play piano, and you already were, you already sang. You were a singer, correct?
Oh, no, I was not a good singer at all.
But you knew how to play the piano.
Yeah, I could play piano at one time, but, you know, that's, golly, Kathy, that's history.
So go ahead. So you're playing the piano, these dueling pianos, and...
Yeah, well, anyhow, and after I did that, he wanted me to stay on after the war. The war was coming to a close, and we were slated to go. I was in the Marines, and I was moonlighting, so I actually moonlighted there at his place. He hired me and paid me, I forget what he paid me, but I would go back there every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Hiroshima was bombed and the war came to an end, I had worked prior to that a little bit in Daytona Beach, Florida when I was a cadet. And the man wanted me to come back and go to work there because he liked what I did with the audience and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I was torn between L.A. and Daytona Beach. But I went back to Daytona Beach, and it's the last time I ever saw Solly at his restaurant there on La Cienega. I chose Daytona Beach, and it was a good thing I did because from there I went to Jacksonville, and from Jacksonville I went to Miami to the Clover Club, and that's where everything good started to happen. I mean, everything happened to me in Daytona Beach and in Jacksonville, but in Miami I started working. She mentioned Patti Page. I worked with Patti Page and mm-hmm. Lena Horne.
Oh, I mean, you got Joan Crawford, Paul Lynn, Tina Louise, James Darren, Nancy Sinatra, Ellen Bernstein, Robert Middleton, George Raft, Pamela Tiffin. I mean, you've worked with many, many celebrities.
Yeah, I did motion pictures. But I went with Paramount, and I was just a lucky guy. And just like that little lady you had on, Ms. Wickers, it just seemed everything fell into place. I was...
You were the right place where you should be, and it's like taking one step and then the other step. It was just like a natural walk.
When I left Miami and came to Fort Lauderdale, mm-hmm. I figured, geez, this is the end of my career. And Sonny Werblin, who was the head of MCA at that time, he says, no, you go to Lauderdale. You're going to like it up there. So I came to Lauderdale, and I figured, oh, this is got a gas station or an Italian restaurant. That's all Lauderdale was. This is a
it's
lot
hard for
of
us
years
to imagine
ago.
That, yeah.
So anyhow, I came up here and everything good happened. And then Don Federson came in here and he had the Lawrence Welk show and he had the Johnny Carson and daytime television. And Johnny Carson was going to move to the Tonight Show. And Don said, I want you to take the daytime show if you want it. So I talked to them with the people who owned the hotel.
Right.
Lauderdale. So they okayed it. So I started doing that. And then
you went to California for that.
No, I know. We were in New York City at the little theater office.
Okay.
Yeah, 44th and Broadway.
Okay.
And anyhow, I mean, that really worked out well. And then Howard Koch had heard about me, and he was the head of Paramount Pictures, and he brought the entire Picker family, Eugene Picker and his son David, and they all flew into Fort Lauderdale, and they came to the hotel where I was working, and they saw this nonsense I was doing. And next thing you know, I'm out there with... doing a picture at Frank Sinatra and Barbara Stanwyck back called, it was one of the early beach pictures.
Right.
And I worked with this girl named Ellen McRae. She played my opposite, Ellen McRae. A couple of years later, she won the Academy Award. She changed her last name to Burstyn.
Oh, my heaven. She's a wonderful actress. Wow. Yeah.
So
a lot of people don't know that you, when Johnny Carson took over the Tonight Show, you took his former job at Who Do You Trust?
Yeah, Who Do You Trust? And that was a Don Federson production. And Don Federson was a great. He had the Lawrence Welk show, and he was just a marvelous human being. He was wonderful. And then I went with Ralph Edwards, and I started a show. After the motion picture, I started a show. Ralph flew down to Fort Lauderdale, and he saw me, and he was brought Barbara, his wife,
mm-hmm.
and Ralph. Which was a great producer. He had, you know, Truth or Consequences, and what was that, a great show that he did, This Is Your Life?
Yes.
He had the celebrities on. Anyhow, he saw the all. He said, I got to get you to do this show. And I started a show in L.A., and it was called The Woody Woodbury Show. Big mistake. I shouldn't have done that. But it was called The Woody Woodbury Show, and it went very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it evolved. And then I had to go back to Fort Lauderdale because of the business that I was in down there. So anyhow, I went back to Fort Lauderdale, and then I didn't even know how to say it. Ralph is such a nice guy. I had such a I went back to Fort Lauderdale, and that show turned into the Merv Griffin Show.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the name of the place you used to play, the steakhouse just south on Federal Highway south of Oakland Park?
That was Dante's.
Dante's. I couldn't think of the name. You were there for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, but I was just there on the weekends. This is when I was like sort of, I wasn't out of show business.
No, your filler. That was like your weekend filler.
Yeah, I was there the weekends, and we just did a land office business there. And it was, I guess the reason is it was a small room.
It was like delightful.
One of the albums I made, one of the comedy albums I made at the Santa Monica Civic, and there were 3,000 people there.
Oh my God.
The laughter is just amazing. And yet you get the same, I get the same feeling when I do a show when there's only 150 people or something like that in the audience.
At Dante's, I don't know why I have this thought. You either told me that many celebrities came there to see you. And am I right in saying Bebe Rebozo once? I don't know if he specifically came to see you.
They also came into the end of the Bahama. I mean, you're making me a name dropper here, but this is really true, and I've got photographs. I had her up on the stage with me, Zsa Zsa Gabor, time in her career before any of the scandalous stuff came out. She was a beautiful girl, like a little.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And a wonderful gal, and Julie, her mom, and I got to know all of the Gabors when I went out there, but we would have, I don't know where to begin. Cary Grant would be in there. In the Bahama, we have so many celebrities coming into that Bahama Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. The Bahama's no longer there. They tore it down quite a while ago.
Yes.
It's W now stands.
Right, right. But you told me also that in your career over the years, you love what you do, and that you can't understand why some entertainers go through this depression period or something, because you always were so grateful and happy to be doing what you were doing, and that you always felt motivated to feel good about it. Like, it was just like one big long high for you. You never got depressed at all. Is that true?
No, I very rarely am depressed. Yes, to me, I learned early on the show's got to go on. And, I've been working with Perry Como for 26 years, and I've just worked with the best people in the world, and I'm, retired down here now in Fort Lauderdale, and the guys I run with, like, Frank Lacana would be a great guest for you. Frank's got his own
club. You know, I was thinking, maybe I don't think they already did this, but if I were running things, I think you deserve a star on that Walk of Fame. Have they talked to you about that yet?
Oh, I got a star.
You do have a star? Oh, good. Then we're thinking along the same. You know,
bless your heart. I got a star with Wayne Huizenga and with...
Connie Francis, right?
Connie Francis, and then Chrissy Everett.
Oh, good. Great. Yeah. Well, you deserve it. You really deserve it because you brought a lot to Fort Lauderdale with the movies and with your shows and your personality. And you're a very kind person. You're very encouraging and supportive to people who work with you. I do want to mention somebody here that I know you worked with and we recently lost, and we don't like to talk about the losses too much, but Edie Gourmet. You worked with Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet in your career. And What a great talent. There's only one Edie Gourmet. She had a voice that was just unique and all her own.
I would fly with Edie and Steve from New York to California because I was doing the television show, and then I was also doing the motion picture. And I would fly out there with them. They had two little boys, one of whom lost his life early on, the other still alive. But I got to know them really pretty well at that time. But then, show business, Kathy, this business, you're in it, and it's people just drift apart and they don't bump into each other. And some of the great people I worked with are like Alan King and Corbett and Monica.
Yeah.
some of the
Norm Crosby, Kelsey Grammer. I mean, you're
Kelsey. Yeah, Kelsey Grammer is just terrific.
So listen, have you written a book? You probably have. Have you
talked to that little gal about writing?
What about you?
Right now it's 1,100 pages. I'm never going to get it finished.
Well, I think it better. I think it would be a good thing. I think it would be a good thing. Hey, listen, Woody, we're approaching a little out of time, and you know, I love you, and I think you're just the most delightful, supportive, and wonderful person. You're so important to this community, and I'm honored to have you on my show and chat with you.
All I want to do is say one thing. While I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm looking at a photograph of you, and for those of you who have never seen Kathy Rollins, she is some kind of good-looking girl. This is no hag.
Are you reading that?
I'm not sure. It's something you wrote.
It's something
a lovely-looking girl.
Ah, you're a sweetheart. You're a sweetheart.
The girls from the Ziegfeld, all the Ziegfeld girls, told me to tell you hello, Maria Fritz.
Oh, great. Yeah, they're what a troop of guys. They do such wonderful work, too.
And all of them. They all said to say hello to you, because I told them I was going to do this show.
Who?
I told the girls.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll have to see them. I'll have to catch up with them.
Sure. Oh, yeah, they sure know you.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Woody. It's really kind of you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sweetheart. Thanks for
thank
the time.
Thank you, darling. Okay.
Sure.
Bye-bye, hon. Very good. What a guy. Woody Woodbury. My goodness. Now, I was telling you a little earlier that we tracked the career of two stars. We know they're going to make it big. I told these guys, don't come home without a Tony, an Emmy, an Oscar, or maybe a Golden Globe. We'll even settle for being nominated. And one of those is a future star. I know he is. He's our tracking career, the career we track out of New York, and his name is Rob Askenaz. Rob, welcome to Radio Showtime.
Hello, Kathy. How you doing? You got me? I'm kind of on a mobile on the street corner out here in New York City today.
You are loud and clear, my dear. So what's going what's going on the pavements of New York City?
Actually, about 4 o'clock today, I got booked for a show called Orange is the New Black. It's a streaming show on Netflix, which is pretty popular now.
All right.
So pretty excited about that. I get to go tomorrow being a restaurant scene or something like that, so I'm pretty happy.
What kind of character? A restaurant patron? You're playing a restaurant patron?
A restaurant patron, that's right. but what was great, I guess last week, I got a shot on Magic City that's showed nationally, and I got people
I saw that
calling me
still.
Up and saying, hey, did you see yourself on Starz Network? Did you see yourself on Magic City? So I got some great shots. That was cool. I wanted to say real quickly to anybody, the listeners, the actors that are out there that want to concentrate on focusing on their career. This week I wanted to concentrate on focusing on my regular job, because it's real important, because you can't be an actor in New York unless you have a regular job to fall back on. So I wanted just to make that a real quick point, if I could, Kathy.
Yes, please. We want to offer as much support and advice as we can.
Sometimes you need to focus on your regular job,
right,
and then the acting jobs will come, because that's exactly what happened. I really didn't submit for much, but I submitted for like two different things, and the Orange is the New Black came in. So,
yeah,
the more you focus on, you know, what you want to do, the more that you'll get it.
Good advice. Good advice. Well, Rob, we're out of time, and you know, I always love talking to you, and I know you're keeping busy, and you have the support of a wonderful family and all your friends. And if anybody wants to communicate with Rob, it's Rob Askenaz on Facebook. That's Rob, R-O-B, and then A-S-H-K-I-N-A-Z. Rob Askenaz.
K-E-N-A-S. There you go.
K-E-N. I'm looking at the screen.
A-S-H-K-E-N-A-S.
Bad boy in there.
A-S-H-K-E-N-A-S. Rob Askenaz. Yeah, that's Rob Askenaz.
He wrote what I wrote. I spelled it wrong. So R-O-B, then A-S-H-K-E-N-A-Z.
A-S.
Rob Askenaz.
Askenaz.
If you just put the R-O-B, A-S-H, it'll pop up.
All right, and if I heard you're coming up to New York City, give me a call.
I'm coming. You know it. I'll be there, and I'm going to give you a call. And if we can get together, have lunch or coffee or something, that would be great.
All right. All right, you guys. Everybody work hard out there. We'll see you next week, okay?
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Well, we're coming to a close. I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Betsy Wickard. I want to thank William Florian and Woody Woodbury for joining us and making our show so interesting and versatile. I want to thank Connor for his Connor's Corner and Rob Askenaz for also calling in and letting us know how his career is going. This is Kathy Rollins, and this is Radio Showtime, and we hope you will please listen in next week at 7. And we have Mr. Prima's going to tango us out of here.
It is time to say goodnight to Napoli. It was hard for us to whisper Bonacera with that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea. In the morning, Signorina, we'll go walking where the mountains of the sun come into sight, and by the little jewelry shop we'll stop and linger while I buy a wedding ring for your finger. And in the meantime, let me tell you that I love you. Buonasera, Signorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, Signorina, kiss me goodnight. But the red do that to the pot, bona body boat, but do the bottle boat, Buonasera.
You've been listening to Radio Showtime with producer, director, actress, and talent agent Kathy Rollins. To find out more about Kathy and Standing Room Only Productions, go to KathySRO.com or call 954-791-7555. That's KathySRO.com. The curtain will rise again next Tuesday evening at 7.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.